I'm going to be in the book of Colossians tonight, chapter 3, verses probably 1 through 17. And it's interesting because there's nothing new under the sun. And I think about that often, how things just keep repeating themselves, and how Paul wrote this book to the Colossians, and it was a town in or a city in what's now modern-day Turkey, which this city isn't even there anymore now. It was on a trade route through to the Euphrates, and it doesn't even exist. But God's word is here a couple thousand years later. It's still here. It's still strong. And as we say, there's as Ecclesiastes say, there's nothing new under the sun. So here we are, and it's God's word, and it's still applicable to our lives. It's interesting, my late father-in-law, which went to be with the Lord almost 3 years ago now, he used to say a man can't walk in two directions at the same time. He's either going to the cross or away from the cross. And I've thought about that often because I think sometimes throughout my life, I know the first 24 years of it, I was running away from the cross. I didn't even realize that I was doing it till later on, but I was headed away from it. And then since then, I've been trying to run to the cross. Now, sometimes I feel like I'm paddling a canoe up a river, and I make some headway, and then all of a sudden I stop paddling, might drift back a little bit, and then I'll try going. But I try to seek the Lord in His ways and run to the cross. So we're here in chapter 3 tonight. In the first half of the book, Paul's discussing doctrinal issues here. And the second half of the book is primarily focused on application. And where I'm a practical kind of guy, I think that's why the book of James is probably my favorite book in the Bible. I like application. I like to see how we can apply stuff to our walk, how we can grow in the Lord. So we'll start off here tonight. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. If you notice there in verse 1, it says if. If then you were raised with Christ. So it's speaking, some translations put this since then. So this right here is speaking to believers, right? We can see here, if then you were raised with Christ. So first we had to what? We had to die. If we were raised with Christ, we had to die to our old ways, to our sins. So I like this here. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So seek. What do we think of when we think of seek? Well, I think, first of all, in an earthly sense, I think of seeking. Probably most men here have lost their wallet at one time or another. And what do? I've seen myself, I've seen other men go frantically trying to find their wallet. They search and search and search and seek. And I've seen women do the same thing with purses or with earrings or different things like that. And so we seek those things on the earth here, but sometimes do we really seek the Lord Jesus Christ, or do we really seek those things that are above? I think sometimes we need to get our perspective straight. I think we have the wrong type of perspective. What type of vision do we have? What type of vision do we see things at? Do we see things in the earthly sense? What does this world have to offer? The different things that are here that I guess would come in the flesh. Or do we seek those things that are above that only really Christ can give and in the long haul really, really matters? I think of perspective here when we're thinking of seeking those things. Anybody ever seen those little hourglasses that comes in kids' board games and you can flip it over and the time just kind of runs out and then you got to take another turn or move on? I think of that when I think of seeking the Lord, or in my office there's a clock like that one up there, much like it, and when it goes silent you can hear, I'll be sitting there some days and it'll go tick, 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 and it sounds really loud in there. And I'll be sitting there and I'll think, I'm another second closer to going to heaven. I'm one more second, because every tick that goes by, every tick, 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 as we're sitting here in this room, every time that hourglass is flipped and our lives are going through it like sand, I mean, we're just closer and closer every moment to going with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the things of this earth, we're that much closer to leaving behind. So you think about it. Do we try to amass wealth on the earth? Do we try to seek things that are temporary here? Or do we try to strive for the things that are lasting, that are going to last for all eternity? Warren Wiersbe says, for the Christian, heaven isn't simply a destination, it's a motivation. I mean, we don't want to think of heaven as going to Disney World or something where, oh yeah, we're looking to go on this trip and just it's a destination. Once we arrive, that's it. We've done it, checked it off our list. But it should be our motivation. It should be what we strive for every day, and how we think and how we look at things in the world here is that perspective. And it says, set your mind on things above. Set your mind. Do we set our mind to things? In verse 2, We set our mind to things on the earth all the time. We set our minds to tasks like work and sports and building houses and families or different things like that. But do we really set our mind on things above? You know, and it's hard. I mean, I realize that it's hard as men and women, and we have to live in this world, we have to provide and all that, but we can actually get obsessed with it. We can get obsessed with making that next dollar or buying that next item or different things to that nature. Verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. So that goes on right there. It says, you know, we talked about, if then you were raised with Christ, set your mind, seek those things which are above, set your mind on things not on the earth. So when we set, we all know that saying, oh boy, he's set his mind to it, or she's set his mind to that. And what does that mean? What does that mean? That you're intently focused on it, right? When we don't just half-heartedly sometimes set ourselves up for a task that we're doing, we usually dive into it. And we should be doing that with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the things here on earth. We should try to have a heavenly perspective instead of a earthly perspective there. Verse 3, if you died and your life is hidden with Christ. So we died when we got to remember here, this is written to believers. So if we died, what'd we die to?
Died to ourselves.
Yeah, we died to ourselves. We died to ourselves. We died to the flesh, to the old ways. And, you know, we're going to talk here in a little bit about putting on the new. So we died and we're hidden with Christ. You know, I like that word right there, hidden. And it makes me think of... You know, the mother chick scenario when we're hidden under the wings. And I feel like when I read this verse here that we died to ourselves, we were raised with Christ, and he's got us. He's got us right there under his wing. All we got to do is stay focused and keep our eyes on him. For when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I think that's an awesome verse right there. I think of that when all things are done, when the great white throne judgment is taking place, and the new heavens and the new earth and everything is sorted out. How awesome that's going to be! And I think people often have a vision of heaven as a boring place, and we just lay around and do nothing. But from what I gather from reading the Bible, it's God has order, and he has direction, and he has purpose for us. And I believe that there's a plan and a desire, and that we have purpose in the kingdom to come, in the new heaven and the new earth. And I think that it's just an awesome verse here about that. Therefore, so now since Paul's told us this, he's got to tell us, go on here. He says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Put to death your members on the earth. You know, it's really talking about carnal. Let's turn to Romans chapter, let's see, chapter 8, I believe it was. Yeah, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. For those who live according to their flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are in the flesh, but you are not, sorry about that, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Sometimes I think of that word carnal, and I think, well, I know that means flesh, but I think we just kind of throw it around sometimes. I dug a little deeper in Strong's Concordance, and it does mean flesh, but one of the definitions there was like an animal-like behavior. And you think about it, sometimes when we're not following Christ, when we're not walking according to his ways, when we're not heavenly minded, we have these list of things back in Colossians chapter 3, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, and idolatry. You know, those come from the flesh. It's kind of like that animal-like instinct that drives us to do those things. You know, I think almost like a coyote out there in the woods, all they want to do is just fill their appetite. They don't care about who they hurt, what they destroy, or anything. They're just trying to self-please all the time. And when we're in the flesh, that's what we're trying to do. If we got to be honest, we're just trying to please ourselves and do that. And that's contrary to the way that Christ is. It's contrary to that heaven mindset. That's an earthly, that's a here and now mindset. And it's it's totally contradictory to the way of God. I'd like to tease out something here too. I mean, you got a whole list of sins here, basically, that are, and we're subject to them. We're subject to them. And when we're earthly minded and we're in the flesh, you think about it. If we're watching TV, if we're going down the road in our truck and we have the music on, or we got an ear pod in listening to music, if we have our phone out and we're scrolling on what's on there on social media or on the internet, who's there watching it too? Who's listening to it too? Yeah, God. God. We might be able to hide stuff from each other. We might be able to hide stuff, from our spouses or family, but we can't hide anything from God, right? He's all knowing. He's all present. I mean, I like to think of that when I'm flipping the remote. I like to think of that when I'm turning, listening to music. I like to think of that when I'm on the internet, that God is seeing. He knows and he's seeing everything that I'm viewing right there. And I think that helps keep me accountable, knowing that I'm going to have to answer someday for what I'm doing right there. And if it's pure, if it's heavenly minded, if it's clean, then I know that the Lord's fine with that, that he's good with that. But if it was something not, then he sees it, and I'm going to have to stand before him someday and say, look, he's going to say, look, what was that? So I think if we have that type of heavenly mindset when we're doing these sort of things, it helps us. It helps us keep that focus. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So those who do what? Those who do these things are going to get what? Judged. Yeah, we're going to get judged. I like this verse 7 right here. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. You know, I like that because that shows us right there, because there's a list here, there's a list other places in the Bible. One is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a whole list of things that people that do those, it says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. We can actually turn there. We'll read it. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And once were some of you, but you were washed. Whew. You know, you think about it. Most of us have been something on that list. You know, I know that there's a few things on there that I were, and when I saw that, when I read that, I was like, oh man, I'm in a real mess here. But then it says down here in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Isn't it awesome to know that we have a God that will forgive us of that? That if we repent and turn from that and follow him, believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, that he's faithful to forgive us of that. Faithful. And we're justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we're not just forgiven, but we're joint heirs with him in the kingdom to come. I mean, you think about that. I think about it all the time, how I was adopted into the kingdom. I mean, that's just overwhelming to me sometimes. So let's go back to Colossians there, and it's so great knowing the forgiveness of our Lord and Savior. It's really a wonderful thing. And any of us that have walked, which is probably most of us, walked away from the cross, contrary to it, that when we have seek the cross, how good that feels, and how secure that feels to know that our sins were forgiven, that Jesus paid that price, and that we don't have to carry that burden around with us anymore. It's really wonderful. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. You know, it's interesting. I read some commentary on this passage right here, and it said that some of these in the church are considered the lesser sins, or they're considered more acceptable. Well, Paul right here clearly says that these aren't acceptable. These aren't acceptable right here to God. And, you know, I think about that. Sometimes we can justify an outburst of anger. Sometimes we can be wrathful. We want to get back at somebody that has done something to us. Or malice. I spent a lot of time meditating and contemplating that. Malice is, when we have ill will towards somebody, when we're not happy, when something good happens to somebody and not joyous for them, or we actually hope that some calamity happens to them and some ill will happens to them. And, you know, that's really kind of sick and twisted in our heads, but, you know, I've been there before. I probably, a lot of you have, you know, when you in only really the Lord Jesus Christ can help take that away from us right there, that desire for evil. Blasphemy, you think about that, speaking evil of God and in others. I think of filthy language. You know, a lot of times off-color jokes and stuff are kind of acceptable, or you kind of hear that. I think of this is especially convicting to me. I think of my mouth before I was saved, and how I probably swore worse than a pirate. I mean, I was pretty bad with my language and my mouth, and I actually thought it was kind of cool around other guys, you know, to kind of almost see how much I could swear and stuff. And it was interesting because I found the Lord at the age of 24, and I was doing carpentry work with a crew at that time. And if any of you have done carpentry work on a regular crew, you know how the language situation can be there, and how vile and filthy it can be. And I remember we were building an apartment building out on the Hadley's Lake Road, and I was up there on the roof, and we were shingling away, and I was over on one of the rakes, and I was just hand nailing, just starting or ending. I can't remember which side I was on, and I hit my thumb. I hit my thumb, and I took the Lord's name in vain. I mean, I said that there, and all of a sudden, the wave of conviction just come over me. I started sweating. I felt like I was going to throw up, and I remember just hitting my knees on the roof there and just thinking, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me for just speaking out against you. And, you know, it was interesting because that was one of the first things that the Lord did for work in my life. And I knew that the Spirit was working in me because He went from a daily, multiple times a day, swearer, cursor, all that, to within like 2 months' time, not swearing at all. I mean, it was really amazing the work that he did then. And you know, I just so that's When I read that right there, that really speaks to me because I was there. I was there in that situation. It says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. You know, it's interesting because we have the put off the old man, put on the new man text here. And, you know, I think about it. I'm always trying to think of things in a practical sense. And those of us that work out in the elements or in the mud, I think of Mike telling me he went clamming, you know, recently, or sometimes I end up, for a living, I work for the water company, so most of our work is like 6 feet down in the ground, and so I get covered with mud and different things like that. And the analogy here is of taking off those filthy, dirty clothes. And I think about when I get home at night from a situation like that, and I'm just tired and I'm filthy and sometimes I'm wet and cold, and how you just take off those clothes and throw them in the dirty clothes or in the wash machine, take a shower, and you put on those new clothes, and that feeling that you have, I mean, it's like you get a burst of energy, like you feel fresh again and renewed. And I think of that with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we put off those old ways, put off that sin, and then we put on the Lord Jesus, we put on those new ways and the thoughts that he has, and it's interesting because some of those attributes that he has, he shares with us through him, and we'll look at a few of those here in a minute. But I just think of that, how he can take us that are so filthy and just make us white as snow, and it's just amazing there to me. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You know, we're in that new creation in Christ, and we're the image of him, and it's just amazing to me that I got the floppy ear syndrome going on here with the mic. If anybody has a stiff set of ears, I wouldn't mind borrowing them for this. But anyway, we'll press on. So the new man, who is renewed knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Do we have that? Do we have that new knowledge of him? Do we make no provision for the flesh? You know, it's really back to that mindset. Do we strive for where we're going here? Do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? And it's interesting because the Lord throws in here in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is in all. You know, it's interesting because Christ truly loves us all. I mean, you think about it, he doesn't care what background we come from. He doesn't care what race we were born in. He doesn't care what family we were born in. He doesn't care what economic status we are, whether we got money or we're poor. It doesn't matter to him. And really, when we have that mindset, it shouldn't matter to us either about other people, you know, what race or what they are. Socially, economically, family. It's really cool, because God isn't a respecter of persons, right? But we are. That's something we have to work at, because men themselves typically will set up little rules or little cliques or little clubs, and you can be part of this, but not you. So we go there. So neither Greek nor Jew. So you have the Jews and then you have the Greeks. You have circumcised or uncircumcised. You have barbarian, which that right there is kind of interesting, because the Greeks considered anybody that didn't speak the Greek language to be a barbarian. and then the Scythian, those were actually considered the wildest of the barbarians. They were actually from a part of Russia up there, and they were exceptionally rude and crude and brutal. So they were like considered the worst of the worst there. Or slave or free, you know, those that are bond or free, but Christ is in all and in is all in all. So it's really really cool right there. There's no provision for any distinction right there. But we are all one in Christ, and that's pretty cool. I got my notes here on the side in verse 12. It says, therefore is the elect of God, holy and beloved. So therefore is like the chosen of God, as his holy and beloved. We have to put on tender mercies. I got this in my notes as God's dress code, you know, because we're talking about putting off the old, putting on the new. And I firmly believe that God doesn't care if you're wearing a sweatshirt or a suit or one of those, God forbid, one of those ties, you know, that doesn't work on a fat guy's neck like mine. But you know, I don't believe that the Lord cares about that. But I believe, you know, speaking of putting off the old man, putting on the new man, that this is kind of like God's dress code of character or thought right here. And so let's look at those for a minute. So put on tender mercies. I mean, you think about it, mercy really only comes from where? Only comes from God. I mean, most of these things in this list right here, in the character of the new man is stuff that only the Lord Jesus can provide. We're not naturally merciful, are we? I mean, typically, if somebody wronged us or was in need of something, we would typically in the flesh do what? Well, too bad, you know, so sad. I think how blessed we are sometimes to live down in this part of the country or the state, because I've been down. I haven't been a lot of places in my life, but I was down in Boston several years ago. My wife had to have a surgery down in the hospital, and I'm firmly convinced that if you fell down on the street right there, they'd just walk right over the top of you. And you know, who cares about you? But up here, I think about it, and a lot of times if you broke down on side the road and started walking, you wouldn't walk too long. Somebody would pick you up, even somebody that doesn't like you. I mean, they're going to pick you up here. It's just what we do. You don't let anybody just walk, especially in the cold or the rain. Or if somebody fell down up here, you'd have a bunch of trucks pull over, and they'd be lifting them up, helping them. And, you know, but really mercy's only really comes from God, and kindness. Kindness only comes from God. Humility and meekness. Now there's two words right there that really don't mix with men, right? I mean, you think about it, we're men or women too, but humility is not something that would come natural to us, is it? We don't want to humble ourselves, and sometimes humility and meekness, I think we see in our culture as being something like less than. But you know, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, how the same guy that flipped the money changers tables over in the temple also got down and girded himself and washed the feet, you know. And I think that a lot of time we need that humility. We need to keep a low profile and low thought of ourselves, you know, so that the Lord Jesus can lift us up there, not in meekness. I mean, I don't think anybody was any more meek than the Lord Jesus Christ, but meek yet powerful at the same time. I mean, there's a way that we can carry ourselves as Christians that in a humble, meek way, but not get walked all over at the same time. I'm not saying, and I believe Jesus modeled that. You know, I believe he modeled that humility, that kindness and mercy and humility and meekness, he didn't let people walk all over him. He called sin, sin. He told, you know, he flipped over the money changers' tables. So there's a balance there between what the Lord, how we do that. But it doesn't, humility and meekness doesn't mean that we're any less than. It's really a quality that he gives us. Long suffering. Some translations actually put that as patience. And when I think of patience, I think of me trying to wait it out 2 or 3 hours in a deer stand or a blind or something like that. But when I think of long suffering, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he was patient or long suffering with me for 24 years before I finally gave in to him and said, I love you and I accept you and want you. You know, so I think, and then I've transferred that over in my life to loved ones that I know that haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that don't walk with him. I have loved ones, I have friends, and you know, in our modern society with that tick, tick, tick on the clock, everything has to happen like right now, right? I mean, it's got to happen yesterday or in the Lord's timing isn't exactly our timing, and we don't know when or if somebody is going to actually come to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we just need to be long-suffering in that, and that's a quality that he gives us, and we have to just rest in his power and his glory and just know that he's working, you know, he's working to the good. So we can do that. I've got so frustrated before with relatives of mine that I, you know, why can't you see? Why can't you see this is the way, you know, this is the way, this is all you got to do. Why are you still doing those things? And it's a good thing for me to work on right there. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. So we must, what? Yeah, we must be forgiven. You know, we must be willing to forgive people that's wrong in bearing with one another. I think that sometimes we bear somebody, right? We deal with them, right? Or we forgive them. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now, it's interesting because in the love chapter in Corinthians, you know, it talks about I can do all things. I can speak with the tongues of men and angels and bestow all my gifts to the poor and do this and do that. But if I don't have love, what is it? If I don't have charity. Now, this word that's translated love or charity in our Bibles, probably some of you are familiar with, it's the word agape. And agape love is the love that can only come from God. And you think about it, I've thought about this often. We're humans, we don't necessarily mesh with everybody here. Some people, you know, some people might seem like an abrasive wheel to us, you know, just like sand in our eye, you know, and they might annoy us. And we might not always it might not always be easy. But I look at that word and the Greeks actually have four words for love. One is phileo, which is brotherly love. They have storge, which is family love, like this love between a parent and their children. They have eros, which is a sensual love, like between husbands and wives, and then agape. And I like to think of agape, that love from God, as the ability to love somebody you don't even like. And you know, let's just face it. There's people out there that we don't like. They rub us the wrong way. But God, that love that we have from God, if we're focused on that and put on Him, then Christ, through that agape love, gives us that ability to love them and to minister them and to help them, even if we don't even like them. And you know, I think that's pretty cool there, what the Lord does and what He enables us to do there. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your heart. Admonishing there means like warning. And, you know, sometimes I think that we as Christians like to just hear the good. We don't like to hear the bad or the ugly. We don't like to be warned. But, you know, the Word of God, there's an awful lot of warnings in the Word of God about what to do, what not to do. And you know, it's really where we need to be. We need to just, you know, Paul says it right here in verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and warning one another. Do you like it when somebody comes up and say, hey, this is going on in your life right now. This is going on in your life. You know, you might want to think about what you're doing. Is that really what the Lord Jesus Christ would have us doing? We don't like it, do we? Sometimes we run from it. Sometimes we get mad at it. You know, it says iron sharpens iron, and, you know, we're supposed to, you know, or the wounds from a friend can be what? Trusted. I mean, the wounds from a friend can be trusted. Only a real friend would actually go what? Poke you, right? Say, hey, wake up, bud. Wake up, you know. This is going on in your life. Somebody that actually loves you and cares about you is somebody that's going to tell you what's going on, that you shouldn't be doing it. Somebody that's a fake friend or worldly friend's just going to, they don't care. They're not going to tell you anything. They're not going to warn you. That's why it's important to keep the fellowship together and work with one another and teach each other and admonish in psalms and hymns and the word. In verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know, I think about that often in whatever we do in word or deed. You know, whether we're cleaning toilets or whether we're, you know, ministering to somebody, we should do it like we're all doing it for the Lord Jesus, you know. Toilet cleaning, whether it be here at the church, or that's what we do for a living, or whether we're ministering, it all should be done to His glory. And I think that puts us back into that, ties that right back into the perspective of where we're going in, you know, on this earth, and whether we're putting off the old man, we're putting off the old clothes, or we're putting on the new. We're putting on Jesus Christ, and you know, we're either walking away from the cross or we're walking to the cross. We can't walk in two directions at the same time. And you know, I think we just need to remember that. We need to just remember that there's a family here. The Lord loves us. He gives us that support, and we can, you know, and we can just be rest that we have that love from Him, that love from Him that just surrounds us and teaches us and all that. I think we'll close in prayer and we'll go out of here with a song to finish us off. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank You for letting us come in here tonight, for looking at Your Word and bringing up some different things. Father, I just pray that we would leave here and meditate on your word and what you've said and think about our walk. Just think about where we stand with you. Are we walking in the flesh, or are we have we put it off and we got that new man, that newness in you with the list of things that you have provided there for us to put on? Are we striving for that? Are our minds set for it? And Lord, I thank you for what you did for me on the cross, Lord. I thank you for changing my perspective and my direction of travel, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we would be walking towards you and towards the cross. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.